So to my right and to your left, we have Ryan Thomas and Evan and Elijah Thomas. They're kind of related to each other, okay? And they are missionaries to Spain. To my left, Bob and Lynn Rose. I do remember who you are, okay? So he shared with me that he preached at a church one time and the pastor couldn't remember who he was. I'm like, wow, that's not good. So this is Bob and Lynn Rose, and they are missionaries to Italy. And I thought it would be nice to take about 5 to 10 minutes, maybe closer to 10, and do a little bit of an interview with these missionaries. Because sometimes what happens is missionaries come, they do their speaking, they say hello, goodbye, and they're gone. And we don't always get a chance to interact with them. Now, we will a little bit in the luncheon, but what I'd like you to do, these are unscripted, unplanned questions. So they have no idea what's coming. I have not really prepped them for this, okay? So what I'd like to do is start off with a question for the congregation in terms of, how did you guys know that God was calling you vocationally to missionary work? Who wants to start?
I was in Bible school. I was in Bible school, and I remember we were in devotions one morning, and there was a scripture that was read. And when the scripture was read, it was like there was something that just pierced my heart so deeply. And I was like paralyzed. I couldn't move. And I had prayed, you know, most of my life, you know, because I was raised in church. And I had prayed and I said, God, whatever you want me to do, except don't call me to be a missionary. That was one thing I didn't want because my mother's Japanese. And I was born in Japan. And I lived in the Midwest, so guess what? Who was made fun of? You know, the kid that looked different. But, you know, when you open up your mouth and you surrender your heart, God doesn't want a part of it. He wants it all. And he knows where the holdouts are. And that's where he's going to start touching you until you yield yourself completely to him. So, Pastor Ray, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew he called me. And through the years, it's been tough. It's been rough. And all of you have been through COVID the last 3 years. We were in Italy where it first broke out outside of China. It was rough. But it's the call of God that makes you stick it out and stay and do whatever it takes to see his kingdom come.
I went to Bible college and seminary, but I pastored.
But you should do what he did to you. Just kind of stick.
Oh, yeah. I pastored for 11 years in New York, and the last 4 or 5 years I was pastoring, God was stirring my heart, but I didn't leave the post because it wasn't time yet. God was stirring in my heart, and I took missions trips. I went, you know, and the last one I took, God spoke to my heart when I was leaving to get back on the plane and says, you know, this is going to be your life, so just when you go back, plan on making a change. And I remember being in the office one afternoon and leaving about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I didn't know when God was doing. I just knew there was a stirring. When I walked out the door, God said, "This is the time. Your time to. I'm closing the door here. You're going out the door, but you're literally. I'm closing this door, and it opened the door for you to do something else." And I had read and studied and prayed, and we went to Spain. We went to Spain. We were in Spain for 12, 13 years in Spain. Planted church, two churches. We had two church plants there going, and taught in the Bible school and Bible college. And my students still am in contact with our students from Bible school from 30 years ago. Our director for Global University in Spain is one of my students now. He's still directing the program. Anyhow, my point is that it was something that didn't happen immediately. it was one of those things where God began to stir, and over time, he gave you the time frame, the timeline, you know, he gave it, and it was made clear to me. And I knew without question that day I left the church that this was the time that God said, okay, go. And it's, we all love missions. We all love people in the world. We all want to see people come to Christ. And some of us are centers, and some of us go, and we're all part of the same story of reaching people for Christ. But I just knew that God had placed me and called me and called us to work on a different setting than I was before. And I knew it was God, so clear. I don't know if that's a good answer for you.
It's good. I just, sometimes, you know, you may not be aware of how it happens. For some, it's very, very young. For some, it's a little bit older. Bob used to pastor in Amsterdam. He calls it Amster Gosh because he doesn't want to use Amsterdam there. Something like that. But you got to know he's punny. So don't get him near him. Do not bring them together. But what I wanted to do, the reason I'm doing this, I'm going to have Ryan as well, is some of you out there, God might begin to stir your heart in a service just like this. And so we want to give you that opportunity to hear what God does. So you, when he starts stirring, you don't go, no. You, all right, God, whatever. So, Ryan?
Oh, I wanted you to feel comfortable since you shared your story last
night. That's right.
So
I grew up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries. And the last thing I wanted to be was a missionary. I begged, in fact, I would call my parents moochinaries. I said, we're moochinaries. I can't stand it. And I had a really negative attitude. Well, when I was 7, I knew that God called me, and I didn't like it, but I knew that he called me. And so I always tell young people, hey, the calling keeps calling. And even though I tried to run from God, it just kept coming back. When I was 18, I had a real encounter with Jesus, and again, God put that on my heart. I saw myself in different nations and finally surrendered it. It's the best thing I've ever done. I absolutely love it. My kids love it, don't they?
Yeah.
but now God, we're seeing God call them, you know, which is so cool. So.
So let's see.
What's it like? We good?
No, it's there. So what's it like following your parents and being on the field like that? Again, unscripted, impromptu. They did not know this is coming. No pressure.
Well, at first it feels kind of weird because it's like you're only your parents calling. You almost feel like that. And then after a while, like it can feel like you're calling too.
What's it like being on the field with your family as a missionary?
I don't know.
All right, so next question. As you look back over, how many years now have you been a missionary? 36 missions, how many years?
18.
As you look back over that time period, what would you say one or two of the greatest blessings you've seen in missions work that you've done?
As far as the greatest blessing is seeing people that have been won to the Lord through your ministry and see them develop and grow and begin to hunger and thirst after God. The people that you win to the Lord will be very similar to you because they model who you are. Hmm. You love God, they'll love God. You're passionate, they will be passionate. They will feel what you feel, and not that you want them to have your calling, they're individuals. But they will model what they see in you and me. And we always want that to be to give God glory, never to shine it on ourselves, but to glorify God in our lives. So when we see them, and even, you know, when I was a teenager, I taught children. And to see those kids follow after Jesus with a heart that was so pure. And to see them called into ministry is one of the greatest blessings that I could ever think of. I remember when I left to go, I went to Japan first. And I remember when I went, my kids in my children's church surrounded me and prayed for me. And that was the purest prayer I have ever received.
Cool.
What I think is really special to me is to see the people you've discipled do greater things than you did. They have excelled, and you've watched, you know, you got them, you discipled them, and then see them flourish and do greater things. It's you know, you can't despise the day of small beginnings. I mean, God takes that small stuff, and as the fruit comes, it really expands. And I'm so grateful to see how God does more in the people that we've discipled and led.
Now, you may not know, when Ryan started, we supported him when we were at the old building on South Grand Street. And when we don't even figure out how we connected, but we did. And they went to Mexico. And that's where his parents had been missionaries, and so that's where he started. And then he ended up having back issues. And so he had to come off the missions field, worked at a church in Denver for a while, and then God stirred his heart again, and now he's in Spain. You look back over all those years, a lot of years, what would you say was the greatest blessing, one or two blessings that you've seen in 18 years?
Well, I would reiterate what Bob and Lynn said about seeing spiritual children that grow up. But I think for us, honestly, it's been our kids. I kind of need to brag on them. Because actually, when God spoke to me to go to Spain, I told my wife, and she was like, hey, good luck. You have fun with that. Enjoy. And we were really happy in Denver, you know, had a beautiful house, view of the Rockies. And her biggest concern was our kids. She's like, we're going to go over. She studied in Spain. And so she said, we're going to go over there. Our kids are going to fall away from God. And then the Lord really spoke to her. And we have watched our kids who, you know, go to school where literally you can't find another Christian that's in their schools. And we've watched them grow in the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, learn how to share their faith. And, I mean, they're kids. They're not perfect, but they love Jesus. And that, obviously, spiritual kids, but seeing our kids, that this is part of their destiny also. As Evan was saying, that it is part of their walk. And so it's just been really cool, to see. So, you know, I said that I had a negative attitude about missions as a kid. I'm so grateful now. And then I know they are too, right? You guys are super grateful. Yeah.
I'll pay you later. So we also want to be realistic that going on the missions field, although it has this lure to it and people go, oh, this is so cool, you get to travel and visit. There's also some hard slogging along the way. As you look back over 18 years, what would you say was probably the greatest challenge that you've had to face?
Since I had the mic, I'll just answer first. But it was, for me, it was going to Spain. The first 6 months I was there were rough. And part of it was I grew up in Mexico. I'm used to Mexican culture, very friendly, very non-confrontational. Spain is the opposite of that. And so I'm like, I don't like these people. Lord, how do I reach them when I don't like them? And I think it was the theologian Mike Tyson who said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And it was, you know, we had this great plan. We had three couples coming with us. They all canceled for different reasons. So we were there by ourselves. And it was just the loneliness. There's no warm fuzzies. There's no angels singing. And what you said, Lynn, it's the calling that keeps you there. And so even though it was incredibly lonely, incredibly hard, it seemed like nothing we were doing was working, and you just want to throw in the towel and be like, this is stupid. What am I doing here? That calling is what keeps you there. And so, yeah, that was a really tough season. Ironically, my kids did wonderfully. They adapted. I had the hardest time. I had the most culture shock when we were there.
Wow. Yeah. Roses, what would you say? Biggest challenge?
I agree with Ryan. It's the culture shock and living with people who may or may not really want you around. And you're there and you're trying to learn a language, you're trying to adapt. Food is a big issue, it's totally different. But you just keep going because God won't let you go, the Holy Spirit won't let you go. I remember working in Japan and for years and seeing zero come to the Lord. And I kept saying, God, before I leave to go back home, I said, I want to see at least one come to the Lord. You know, but that prayer was not granted. However, afterwards, I found out that the Japanese people have to watch your life for years. If you know anything about the Japanese, they're a very good people. The crime rate goes down every year, like. So it's just, they have to know that you have something different and better. I remember my Japanese teacher, one day we were sitting in class and she just stopped and she said, I think you're wonderful. And I said, oh. I said, no. I said, if you see anything good in me, it's because you see Jesus in me. And she said to me, no, I think you're wonderful. And because I think you're wonderful, I think your God's wonderful. I said, no, God is wonderful. And I'm scum, but because you see God in me. She said, no, you're not understanding. You came here young. She said, you came here and you gave the best years of your life. She said, why didn't you wait till you were old and then come? But she said, you came when you were young. You've given us the best. And what I see in you makes me think, this is what her God is like. Hmm. So she said, that makes me want God. So sometimes we just have to stick it out, look at the culture, listen with our heart, but know that that calling will keep us there despite the obstacles.
I'm not quite sure how to answer this. There are things you abandon when you leave. You're not going to have the same things. And I guess you could consider that some of the struggles. I mean, there's no family, there's no Christmas together, there's no Thanksgivings, there's none of that, because you're by yourself in a foreign country. We filled it up with having church on those days. So we had our own family, we made our own family. So I guess there's some losses in terms of some familiar things that you're familiar with and accustomed to, but those are pretty insignificant, really. When you, in the bigger scheme of things, when you know that God's got a plan and God's working it out, and God gives you other families. God gives you a bigger family and a wider family and an international family, and so initially you may think you're losing some stuff, but in the long run you're really gaining. Mm-hmm. You really gain a greater worldview of people and my mom and dad, of course, had the roughest time with everything. They were more upset about it than we were, But now, thank the Lord, they're with the Lord now. So,
So for both of you, 30 seconds or less, on a scale from 1 to 10, how, 1 being the least, 10 being the worst, how badly did COVID affect you guys in your ministry locations in Italy and Spain?
10.
Ironically, I mean, it affected a ton, but it actually helped us in a weird way. I was telling Sid this. So about a 5, I guess. Because it was hard, and then yet it opened up doors that we didn't have before.
Okay. So last question. What can we as a church do to be the Aaron and Hers that hold your arms up and partner with you as you do ministry? What are some things that we can do to help you?
I know everyone says pray, but that is the number one thing, because it is a spiritual battle, And I can't tell you the amount of times I was so discouraged, I would get an email just, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying for you. And I would just start bawling. I mean, ugly crying on the street. That actually happened. I was walking my dog. So praying, William Carey said, I'll hang on the end of the rope if you promise to hold the other end. And you can lower me down into the depths. That's how it's holding the rope, you know. So praying, the financial support, yeah.
Okay, what about you guys?
Like my dad said, praying, like knowing someone's actually like caring for you and praying for you when you're struggling.
Cool.
Praying.
There you go. Lynn, you can finish this one up.
I agree 100% praying. That's why we have prayer cards in the back, and I'm sure that Ryan does too. Please, everyone, take one. And as you pray, look at our faces and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you needs that we have. It's happened, as Ryan said, over and over. Somebody will just send you a message, or all of a sudden, you know that you're having a bad time. You're going through a rough time, but you feel strength. And it's only God and the Holy Spirit, because God doesn't care about the distance. You can pray here and touch us over in Europe. So prayer is the most important, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening and responding. And just shoot us an email or a text, and remember to pray for us. Thank you.
Cool. Can we have a round of applause here for missions? If you just stay there for a second, Nick and Liz, would you do the honors and praying for these guys? If you guys could just stretch out your hand as these two pray for them.
Dear Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we get to be in your presence and to be in fellowship with each other. We thank you for these families that you've sent out to the mission field. We ask for your strength and your blessing to be upon them. We ask that you just be with them this morning as they share their mission with us, and encourage our hearts and encourage their hearts as we fellowship later. And we just thank you for all your blessings in Jesus' name.
And Father, I just pray that you would just continue to give them strength as they go out, and just continue to just give them hope and new visions for what you've set before them. In your name we pray.